Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No idea when Dev starts on this.
Oh, me neither. Is it now?
It can't be now. There's no way. Wait, it's coming up. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Places. Places.
The history of film. That battle who even the lights go dim. From James Cagney to Nosferatu and stunts that shock you. And all the dirty tricks studios made. From Wings to Top Gun, movie stars and no ones. We're manic, crazy fans that leave no real a ton. Hollywood is film history in Hollywood. They chase the Oscar, but it's all a sham, just like Shaq and Kazam. All your dreams can come true. Film history, the history of film. All of it made for you.
Good God, that was terrible.
This is Film History, the history of film. This is part two of Militainment. If you tuned into part one, or for some reason you didn't, and now you're just here in part two, we are talking about the military entertainment complex. Mm-hmm. And basically,
MET.
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 Wait.
At least
M-E-C.
We don't know how to spell.
MEC.
Oh, yeah, MEC.
MIT is probably a part of this.
That's our saving grace, is the military listening to us can be like, well, these guys are fucking
idiots.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
All right.
Too stupid to kill.
Did not pass the test. So we are going to talk about other forms of media, but that will be part three.
Okay.
So I just have more on film to talk about today, and there's a lot to go through. I think part three will just sort of wind it down with some chill. Katy Perry.
I want to know what the military is doing in poetry.
Yeah. You'd be surprised, brother. Those CIA agents sure are scribes, let me tell you. I mean, look, they write a script pretty good, you know.
Someone does.
Yeah, for sure.
Those
movies aren't bad. All the movies that we mentioned, I mean, some of them are fucking, you know, but...
Right, but, you know, people are most of the time writing the script and bringing it to them, you know, and getting the approval and asking to use the equipment.
And I'm sure
they don't give a shit. As long as they check the boxes, they don't care whether it's good or not, whether it's going to make money or not. They're just like, just make us look good.
And I'm sure even when they have a script prepared, it probably goes through rewrites of actual writers.
Yeah.
And as long as you stick to the guidelines.
That's what, and this job is very interesting to me, like a screenwriter for the CIA. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that absolutely exists. There's guys at the fucking, at Langley, who are like going through scripts, you know?
I imagine just like, a jacked dude, like some guy that's like stereotypical, like a Marine, but he's wearing like a scarf and like a fucking like beret and stuff, and he's just like the artsiest dude, but he's fucking roided.
He's punching his keys of his keyboard so hard, just like cranking out fucking hits.
By the way, I know that there's several people of three-letter agencies out there listening to us right now, and if you guys are hiring,
we would love to be writers.
Yeah. Yeah. We are working writers and producers.
Man.
Over here.
Shit. Yeah. I'll make all the propaganda.
I can be bought by anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But to start off, maybe we can do a little
When are we?
Let's go to 1996.
Oh, okay. Good year.
Good year.
Yeah.
Really good year. Yeah. This was way back in the 1900s. When were you born?
94.
Okay. So
two.
You were two. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I think Dev and I were like 35.
I'm like the Count of Saint Germain. I'm like 400 years old at this point.
I believe it, man. I feel like I am. We got old Bill in office.
Oh.
Old Billy.
Old Blowy Bill.
Old Blowy Billy.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
My favorite one was I did not inhale. That was my favorite.
I just put it up to my lips and then played jazz.
yes, dude. He plays...
I didn't inhale, but I played jazz saxophone in my offices in Harlem. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, bro?
That dude was so stoned all the time. It was great, man. Obama was too. Obama, there was one thing. They like Obama had to do like a midnight interview at some point, and it was like last second, something had just happened. I don't remember what it was. Probably like 9/11, the sequel or something.
He just droned a bunch of children in some wedding.
He just drone-striked a wedding, and he was being called for an interview.
So he was feeling good. He was like, he was fucked up.
He was stoned out of his fucking gourd, man. Watch the interview. He's so high. It's hilarious. I mean, all those presidents.
He was high off the drone murder.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, if anyone, like, that is the thing to do. Like, if you're like Willie Nelson or Snoop or something, and you go to the White House, like, you're sparking up in the White House, and like,
absolutely,
nobody's gonna say shit, really. Yeah. Especially it's because of who you are.
Yeah, and is it legal in D.C. yet?
I don't know.
Everything's legal in D.C.
I mean. Legal and getting caught are the key terms.
Exactly,
there.
Man.
Oh man.
But so it's 1990. What did I say? Six.
This is the year of like Armageddon,
dude.
Right?
It's nuts. So gas is $1.22 a gallon right now, which through the old inflation calculator, it's about $2.35 these days.
Wow, we really hit the boost button on that one.
Yep, we jacked that on up. This was
remember, this is after we went into Kuwait and Iraq, number one. So we already got those prices down.
Yeah,
you
baby.
Know, this was like on the precipice of Kosovo. We were trying to stop a genocide over there. And that's they were like, nah, fuck the Middle East right now. We already handled that business.
Yeah. Well, good luck making a movie about that and getting military funding. Damn. this was the year of Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, man. Tickle Me Elmo.
Taught a bunch of kids how to diddle.
Yeah. It was the molestation toy.
Yeah.
Molest this little red guy. Show the court on this little red guy where he touched
some pedophile somewhere is playing 4D chess. Like, it's
checkmate. The molestation doll, by the way, it was $30, which is like $50 today through the old calculator.
That sounds about right.
Yeah,
like a Build-A-Bear. Yeah. It's really because they use the IP from Sesame Street.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It would have been that expensive. It was some random thing
about that.
Yeah.
It was actually fucking Elmo.
That's Sesame Street IP, yeah.
Why? So thousands of kids molested Elmo.
Yeah.
Probably millions of kids, actually. Yeah, those things were fucking...
Someone was trying to normalize it. They were like, yeah, let's kids know this is playtime.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, some pedophile's playing 4D chess. He's like, I'm
man.
4 moves ahead of you.
This is also the year of Nintendo 64.
Oh!
Yeah, man.
Cool.
Nintendo 64 comes out. Mad cow disease is hot at this time.
Okay.
It's a real trend right now.
Sweet.
It's like all over the talk.
Yeah.
I remember the mad cow disease.
Was this also like Hotel Rwanda days?
Yeah.
Was that 96?
I think that was 96. I think.
What about Jurassic Park? Is that 94? 94, probably.
Yeah, or 95.
Yeah, it was 94.
I got the list of movies coming up.
Okay.
Jurassic Park was 94.
Ask Jeeves.
Oh my god!
Yeah, man.
AOL.
Whoa!
The first Google.
Forgot about Ask Jeeves.
Yeah,
was Ask Jeeves before Google?
Yeah.
Google came
so.
Was like 2000, 2001.
Really?
It was
okay.
Like maybe late 90s, 99.
Wow.
We had some Christian kids at my school who were convinced that Ask Jeeves, and I shit you not, was a demon. The internet is the devil.
That's crazy. Yeah. What is he doing nowadays? Is he unemployed or like what's
his
deal?
Dude, Jeeves is dead. He killed himself long ago. He threw himself off the fucking balcony and shot himself on the way down. Either that or he's like, what do I always say? He's a greeter at Walmart. He's a greeter at Kroger now. DVDs come out in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Our first DVDs on the
planet.
Whoa,
that early?
Yeah, man. 96,
damn.
Japan, baby.
When
did
they come to America?
I don't know.
When did they come to United States?
I don't know when they came
2000?
To America.
Feel like?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
What was it? Was this one of the space shuttle disasters this year?
Really? 96?
I don't know. It was in the mid to late 90s.
I didn't see that in there.
There's two that blew up, and I don't remember which years they did.
Let me see. Columbia was 2003.
Yeah, that was the one trying to land. The heat shield fucked up, and they knew it. NASA fucking knew it.
Yeah, I remember that.
The one that blew up launching.
It was Challenger.
Teacher. Yeah, Challenger.
Speaking, I said this before. I don't know if it was on podcast or not, but speaking of Sesame Street, they were going to have Big Bird, like, get on the space shuttle and, like, televise it and stuff for the kids. and it like didn't go through or whatever. But like, imagine how traumatizing it would be as a child to see Big Bird explode, and like being a teacher having to like explain what the fuck just happened to Big Bird.
Oh my god! I kind of, I mean, god, part of me wishes that happened. man, I mean,
I kind of would like to see that too. Like, that's, I don't really fuck I'm with sorry. Big Bird, like whatever.
That is a funny story.
Imagine all the stand-up comedian jokes, like, oh, oh, there's fried chicken tonight.
Imagine the explanation on Sesame Street that they would have to write.
Well, right? They just replaced that bitch.
They actually kill him. They're yeah. like, he's dead. You
they're
saw
like,
him.
You can't kill Big Bird. He's invincible.
He parachutes.
Yes,
out.
Dude.
Big Bird hasn't aged now, in 30 years.
Now, children, the concept of death is completely broken in their mind. They're like, no, you just come back. You know, you're on TV like the next day. 1996. Here is the fucking list of movies that come out in 1996. Independence Day.
Wow.
Twister.
Wow.
Mission Impossible.
Wow.
Jerry Maguire. Hunter. No, wow from Drake. 101 Dalmatians. The Nutty Professor. The Birdcage. A Time to Kill. Fargo. Trainspotting. Mars Attacks. Dust Till Dawn.
Wow.
Fucking, the list goes on and on, dude.
Great
like,
year for movies. Yeah.
Holy shit, everything came out in 99. And
let me tell you how much military it was with Birdcage. Bro.
Yeah, man, sure. Dude, that was the don't ask, don't tell policy. Yeah.
I fucking love Twister.
Oh, man. It's
so
fantastic.
Good. It's so good.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
We're going to tie ourselves to this pop and really hang on for dear life.
I wanted to do that. Yeah. Like, when I watched that movie as a kid, I was like, the next Twister that comes through my Mississippi town, which is like every
just
other week,
into it.
I'm running into it with a bunch of balls with little lights in them so I can gather some data.
And you notice, like, Mars Attacks, like, if you remember, all the military stuff in Mars Attacks was from, like, the 1950s.
Yeah.
You remember,
yes,
like, the
dude.
Uniforms and, like, the tanks. Tanks and everything that they did not get funding for that. They
absolutely
were,
not. Definitely
they were like,
not.
You want Jack Nicholson to play a general?
Independence
what?
Day.
I was about to say, it's funny Independence Day and Mars Attacks came out the same year.
Independence Day didn't get funding either.
What?
Because
they talked about Area 51.
Well, and also they said Will Smith was non-military in the movie, and they did not like the hero of the movie being non-military. They
what
wanted
do you
him
mean?
To be military.
No, he was military.
Was he?
Yes.
Oh, didn't
He's
they?
A fucking
oh, then, then
pilot.
They, so they came and funded it and changed it, I guess. Maybe that was the story.
They were
going to not get funding at first.
If there was a reason not to fund it, it's because they made the whole aliens and Area 51 pop culture.
Yeah.
They put it in the mainstream. They did not want Area 51 being... Unless they were like, yo, this is part of Project Blue Book and our misdirection. Now we're going to let you guys do this because we just want to make everyone fake believe that we have aliens when they're really just drones or something. You
right.
know what I mean? So, I don't know. But that would be the only reason I would think. And the humans win.
Yeah.
They win, you know? They win with, you know, all the beat the aliens. So, like, you know, it makes the army look great.
I got something on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Story behind the U.S. military's decision to cut ties with Independence Day.
It says that the U.S. military was going to support this and supply us with a lot of costumes and airplanes and stuff. Their one demand was that we remove Area 51 from the film.
Why?
The military would... Oh, my God. It is true. Dev, you were just like... You just got affirmation on what you were saying.
Wow.
I know my shit,
their support. No, I know. That's just like... That's amazing that they actually said it. Why would they want them to remove that?
Because they don't want it in pop culture.
Yeah.
They want
too sussy.
But why do they care?
Yeah, that's too sussy.
Do they care?
It would have been less sussy if they had been like, we don't give a shit. It's a military
exactly.
base. We don't care.
They could have said, because they probably were like, look, you can put a secret military base in there, but you can't call it Area 51
right.
because Area 51 is a
real
location where we're developing stealth fighters and skunk workses and
that
all these
sense.
And DARPA and shit. So
that
like,
makes sense.
They were probably like, we just don't want to point a fucking spotlight at the secret test facility
but that's so
for
funny
our
because
weapons.
They blew up the White House in that movie, which I guess it didn't get funding by the military.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
probably couldn't have done that either.
Yeah,
if the military had funded
yeah,
it.
They're like, all right,
no,
we're
they can still do that as long as you come out ahead. Like, what is it? The Gerard Butler film,
White House
Down, and stuff.
Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah, you can get away with that.
For sure,
you just gotta win in the end.
Yeah. So 1996, if you're turning the dial on the old radio in your car, which for sure you are, you know, you got that fucking, like, LED display.
Already?
Radio. I think so.
In the 90s?
I think so. I think, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I've definitely seen some, like, shitty old 90s.
We also had cassette tapes. And CDs.
Yes, we did.
The beginnings of CDs.
Yeah. And you'll probably hear the Macarena playing. Oh. Which we were all doing at the skating rink when I was a kid in the 90s. You know, that was a big 90s thing. Maybe you'll hear Always Be My Baby by Mariah Carey. She was like peak Mariah in 96. Yeah. That was like one of like three fucking Mariah songs that were huge in 1996. Ironic by Alanis Morissette. Remember that shit?
It was like alt rock of
the
90s.
Man.
Probably some Dave Matthews.
Probably. Hootie and the Blowfish.
You know, yeah. What is it? Like Sister Hazel and stuff.
R. Kelly.
Third Eye Blind.
Oh, whoa.
Old pissing R. Kelly.
Yeah. I think this was a little early for like Ja Rule and Cisco. I think they were like 99, 98 stuff.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This was maybe like the tail end of NWA and like, you know, the whole 90s rap thing was kind of like falling a little off. Like that was heavy in 91, 92, 93, 94, 95 maybe, but
yeah. But most importantly to us today, 1996 is the year that the CIA opened up their own entertainment division.
Whoa.
Yep, the CIA, it's about time they officially opened up shop.
They saw Independence Day.
They saw it and they were like,
and they were like, we got to get a handle.
We got to spin the narrative back over here.
Yeah, that goddamn DOD is falling down on the job over there.
I mean, Mars Attacks and Independence Day? What the fuck is happening right now?
You guys.
They call up Bill. They're like, why don't you get your dick sucked to take this heat off of us, bro?
Yeah, man, you're going to have to do something.
Bill Clinton was a psyop.
It's just like playing a saxophone.
When, I know it wasn't 96, but when, it must have been the 2000s, when Behind Enemy Lines came out. You remember that with Gene Hackman and Owen Wilson? Because that was about a true story, and that had to have been paid for by the military, because they shot on aircraft carriers and everything, and that was where they said it in the movie, it was like an F-15 that got shot down over the Kosovo thing, but in reality, it was a Nighthawk. It was an F-117 stealth fighter that got shot down.
Shit.
It was the first time the stealth fighter got shot down, because it was one of the first times we used it.
Damn.
We used it in the Gulf War, and then we used it in that. But
what did
they
shoot down with, I wonder, man?
What did they?
Yeah.
With a SAM missile. Like, when you're within a certain range, those fighters aren't completely...
Surface-to-air missile.
Yeah, they're just... they're not totally stealth. So what they're doing is they're, like, radar absorbent. So, like, you're stealth at a certain distance, but when you get, like, within 20 nautical miles or something, then certain radars can see you and detect you. And these... they had spies, the Kosovoans had spies looking at the American base, watching when the planes left.
Shit.
And the planes left on these bombing runs, and the idiots, military, I love you, they took the same route as they did for like the previous 4 days.
Oh, shit.
So they were like, we know they're coming, we see them, they're launching radio, and they just like popped up their, you know, defenses and just went to town.
I gotta see that movie, man. Shit. Sounds great.
That was a good movie. Gene Hackman's the shit in it.
Man, I love old Gene.
That was like when Owen Wilson's first big like Hollywood action starring role. Like
he'd
been in stuff before that, but
made for
by the military. Based on a true story.
So it was about time the CIA opened up shop. But this is not the first time that they would have their hands in Hollywood, though. They had already been doing this for a bunch of years. This was just like when they officially were like, we're opening up. They were created in 1947. And already 1954, they had their own like entertainment campaign going. So this started back in the 50s. You remember Animal Farm, the movie, right? The animated film?
I never saw it.
So, you know, it was a George Orwell book. It got made into like a really creepy fucking like adult animated film.
Oh, interesting.
It's all about communism.
Cool.
You know?
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
Oh, damn.
Yeah,
okay.
It's real anti-communism.
Ah.
Right? I mean,
it was written, when was it written? It was written like
in the 80s, like 19,
It was like in the same vein as like an Orwell, like 1984 kind of theme where it's like, this is what happens when you have these kind of, you know, structures and organization. But yeah. No,
oh, never mind. Jesus. It was written in 1945.
That's what I thought. It was older than that. And it came out right after the war because of the war.
And it's different than Animal House?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, a little bit. Okay. John Belushi's in both. He does amazing. He's hilarious in Animal Farm. He voices
and
all the commie
fucks
pigs.
Fucks a pig in both.
No,
that's
so
rude. How rude. You talk about that girl.
Animal Farm, 1954, animated film. Maybe we'll do an episode on it one day. Like I said, it's real creepy. Watch it when you get the chance. Let's all watch it. On edibles, preferably. If you're fucked up, it's going to be even worse. But, so this in the 90s, this Cold War historian, Tony Shaw, he was looking at the archives for the film to put together like a documentary about the film, you know? And he discovered that the rights to the story had been very quietly purchased by the CIA back in the 50s. And they like altered the ending of the film and shit to make it like an anti-communist thing. So I guess originally it was like not really either or.
So the book was like more ambiguous?
I think so.
No,
no, the book wasn't, but the script,
the
script was like, the
script was more ambiguous.
The script was like sort of keeping it like, you know, whatever.
Okay.
And the CIA changed it to, anyway.
What if like the script was originally like the rights were bought by some studio in like the USSR and like they were trying to spin it and then the fucking CIA bought it back and spin it the other way? That's really what these studio wars
bidding,
are about.
A bidding war on the Animal Farm. We gotta watch it, man. It's a creepy ass movie. Dev, I'm sure you like Hunt for Red October.
God damn yes.
As
one
much as I
movies.
Do. One of the greatest
of the
films ever made.
We talked about it last time. True story.
Yep.
Actual Soviet ship submarine commander from the on the Pacific side defected and sailed into, you know, got chased down by the Soviets and almost blown up, but sailed into like American custody. And that's how we discovered, that's how we got possession of their, I think it was the Typhoon class of their big, deep, like giant ballistic nuclear missile sub that was brand new and had this secret like propulsion system that was super quiet. And yeah, there was saboteur on board and stuff. All that shit's real.
I don't remember why he did it, why he defected.
I think it was something close to the movie where like his wife died and like he didn't believe in the communism anymore and just like wanted to kind of, he was like, oh, he, that's what he said. He said, you can't have one country have this much power and the ability to do a first strike. So he's like, we got to give this to the United States so that there's mutually assured destruction.
Oh, shit.
Because, like, that's the way
to prevent the war. He
like,
saved the world.
Wow.
Dude,
wow.
These fucking Soviets, let me tell you what, man. They do some real good shit saving the world. Like, the same thing with happened in the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
You guys know about that story?
I mean, I know-ish, but I don't know, like...
I'll tell you real quick, because this is a really important, famous story. There was, during the blockade, right, there was, we were blockading Cuba because of the missiles were there. There was a Soviet submarine under the water that wouldn't surface. So try to get it to surface, we started depth charging it. And the people, the commanders on the submarine were like, we're under attack, the war started, let's fucking launch our nukes now. And they didn't have radio communication with Moscow. And the captain of the boat and the first officer, first mate, both said, we're good to launch. And if that was the end of chain of command, there would have been World War III, nuclear holocaust. But it just so happened that the admiral for the entire submarine fleet was on that ship.
He
vetoed the order and said, we're not going to launch until we get confirmation that from Moscow. And he forced them to surface and get confirmation, and that saved the world from fucking nuclear holocaust.
Shit.
One man.
I want that
person.
Movie. I want that
I
fucking
know.
Movie,
That's
dude.
A movie.
That's
a
movie.
That's a movie.
Dude, fucking hero, man.
We've almost all been turned into ash so many times.
That's crazy, yeah.
We probably, look, it's not too late.
If Christopher Nolan gets his way.
That's right. Yeah. He's just going to nuke LA for his movie, for his next film.
Yeah.
He's like, I will actually nuke LA.
He's...
So, Hunt for Red October, the producer, Mace Newfield, was bringing this thing to Paramount. And I just thought this was kind of an interesting aspect of this whole arrangement that we have with the military, with the entertainment industry. So Paramount basically said, if you don't get funding from the Department of Defense, it's dead. Like, we're not doing Hunt for Red October without funding from the Department of Defense.
You can't really.
It's going to be way too fucking expensive, you know? And it's
they
like,
shot, like, with helicopters and on the flight deck of the aircraft carrier. I mean... They built, those were sets that they built for inside the subs, but they needed that stock footage of like the sub surfacing and like all that kind of shit.
But that is, it's interesting to me.
Could you have miniatures?
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, that's what's interesting to me is, are we using it as a crutch?
Like, I feel like it's an excuse.
Like,
to get
the studio
funding.
The studio is just definitely trying to, you know, save money here.
Yeah.
And so they're saying no to stuff on that print.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
You
I
can,
don't know how
you
it
can
sits
fake
with
it. You can fake anything.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Because, I mean, you know, it's.
Yeah, look at Star Wars.
Yeah, totally.
It was in the 80s.
Fucking, 2001 was in shot of real fucking spaceships. Like,
man, old Frankie Ford Coppola, man. If he can do Apocalypse Now,
yeah,
without, you know, fucking.
I mean, some say he did the moon landing too. So,
that was Kubrick, damn it.
Oh, that's right. But 2001, whatever.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah, we're not paying for all this shit. Go get the DOD. So they went to the DOD, and the DOD wasn't interested. It wasn't anything like a showstopper or anything. They just really didn't see any sort of like value in this movie, you know? And that was when the CIA came along, and the CIA was like, we like this movie. We'll fund it. So the Hunt for Red October was funded by the CIA, and then they went on to purchase the rights to all the Jack Ryan shit.
All Tom Clancy books.
Yes.
Yeah,
so the
sense.
CIA has the rights
Clear
to all
Present
that Tom
Danger
Clancy stuff.
Wow.
And all those great fucking films too.
Brought to
those
you by the books. CIA. For
wow.
Real. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Because it makes the CIA look awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
those are the movies that are like, yo, I want to join them. But I will say the three most powerful and aggressive intelligence agencies in the world are the CIA, the Mossad, and the French.
Interesting. Yeah, for sure. Oh,
the French are the number one with corporate espionage.
The French,
everyone thinks it's Chinese, but the French are ruthless and very, very good.
The French military is not to be fucked with. It's slept on.
The Chinese and the Russians are really good too, but like honestly, like professionalism and tradecraft wise, like the French are very, very up there, but nobody knows about it. That's one of the
They're very quietly fucking badass. Yeah.
People forget the French have the French Foreign Legion,
dude,
which are not really French. They're like people from other parts of the world that want to become French, and by doing so, they join the Foreign Legion, and then that's like France's mercenaries.
Yeah.
They just go send them off wherever.
Wow.
They're very high risk situations.
My grandfather, my mom's side, was a Green Beret.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's fucking up.
And I was going to put this at the end, but fuck it. I'll put it here now. I mean, look, a lot of this is going to sound like maybe anti-military. And it's really not. I really don't mean this.
No, we support the
troops here.
Oh,
in this
I'm anti-military.
I'm anti a lot of things military. I'm also from a military family.
Yeah,
like my grandfather fucking stormed D-Day as a captain in the second Rangers.
My cousin is overseas right now.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's not that we, but I just feel like
shout out. Oh, I'm not gonna say his name because I'm gonna send him this episode. But shout out to you, bro.
Yeah, hell yeah! I just feel like this needs to be known. I just feel like this is something that people should know.
No, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
And I want to go on record. I'm very much an op to the U.S. military.
Yeah, for sure.
I just,
go ahead, brother. 100%. Speak your truth.
If you listen to the first episode, I recommended you do two or three really great shows.
Yeah.
With ex special forces and ex CIA agents. Look, I mean, everybody's got their faults and we joke around, but like, if it wasn't for the fucking military, we wouldn't be number one. We wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be able. I've been to other countries and like, we are very fucking lucky for our way of life, and that is paid for with the blood of patriots. So,
couldn't put it better myself. So, the CIA, now we'll just dig right into it.
back to talking shit.
Back to talking. Yeah. We did enough. You know, pretty much any spy movie though, like Mission Impossible, Jesus Christ is Jason Bourne, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, and 5 and 6. I don't know how many of those things there were. I didn't watch them. They look good though.
They're
I would
great.
Assume that like they wouldn't be about the Bourne movies because it makes the CIA look kind of
so
bad. Like
is,
it's like a runaway rogue agent and like this rogue program.
This is the interesting thing. It's interesting you bring that up. They have very different rules from the DOD.
The CIA can do whatever the fuck they want.
The CIA does whatever the fuck they want. And also, it's very weird because they also did a Zero Dark 30. That makes them look awesome, both the military and the CIA. The torture shit.
That was light torture. That wasn't real torture.
But
that
remember, the DOD has a hard rule against torture.
Right.
Absolutely nothing from the DOD with torture in it. And the CIA was like,
I mean, I feel like the reason that
let them know.
I feel like for
let them know.
Let them know.
I feel like for the CIA, it's like the military doesn't, the DOD doesn't want the U.S. government to look bad.
Right.
The CIA just wants it to look cool to be a CIA operative, and like
they
want to
be like feared. They want to like be like that's a tool to like they know that like Americans are watching, but they also know their enemies are watching.
And so Jason Bourne being so badass and being like a rogue agent still makes the CIA in general look really dope.
That's so
you know
interesting.
What was really good too was Body of Lies, and I wonder that wasn't approved either.
I gotta see Body
Lies. Body Lies is really good. Russell Crowe and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, I never saw
it's
it
like one of my favorite spy movies, actually.
Cool, hell yeah. I know, and I wonder. You know, now really I wonder. Good. I wonder about the CIA might have funded a bunch of shit that talks shit about the CIA. It might even be a fucking reverse psychology mind game, man. We're being propagandized to in a whole new way, man. Like,
what was the movie with Ryan Phillippe about the undercover... this is based on a true story about the guy who is like an FBI or maybe CIA American who is giving secrets to the Russians, and they did like a sting operation.
Oh shit!
And they caught him, and this was all based on a true story. But the movie, God, I gotta look it up. But it was really, really well done, and it makes, even though like it's about this leak like coming from an American, it really makes the agencies look good because they snuff it out, they find him, they catch him, and he like goes to jail.
They win in the end.
Right.
Ironically, most of the CIA work is just paperwork, though.
I know,
90%
man.
Of everybody in the CIA is
90%
paperwork.
are on the payroll analysts and are publicly, like, they file their tax returns as an employer of the CIA, it's only 10% that are
like
the
spies,
undercover, like, spies actual operatives.
Spies probably work for more third-party companies that the CIA, like, contracts, you know? What I mean, that's like more. Then
I mean, that's the real thing. Is like where, like, you know that just like in the special forces, and you get out of the special forces, and you go to like a military contractor, like Blackwater, right?
Yeah.
There is, once you get out of the CIA, you show up the next day working for somebody.
Somebody, I don't know who.
Those are the people we don't know about that are like real, real dangerous.
That's where where the money from your movie's coming from. Wherever that is.
Wherever that is.
The hallway just gets dark at the end.
Hey, we got NordVPN.
That's right. Speaking of NordVPN, let's do an ad break here.
Oh, love it.
All right.
Dude, we need a NordVPN ad.
I know, man.
Yeah, sponsor us.
Sponsor us, Nord. Yeah. All right, let's make some money. And if you want to hear all the things that you didn't hear in the episode...
I love hearing things that I never heard before, and we have so much of that. We recorded this episode for like 4 hours, but then obviously we need to cut out super off-topic stuff. Like, if you're listening to Humphrey Bogart, you don't want a 30-minute tirade about Ezra Miller.
Right.
Or maybe you do, and now you can hear it.
That's right.
Ezra Miller arc is one of the best underrated arcs I've ever even experienced.
Yes.
So that plus fun tidbits, plus bonus episodes. I did a 3-part episode on the history of musicals.
That's right.
We got some legacy content, like some old game history episodes and... history of everything, like Dev was saying. But if you want those shows to come back, the quickest way to make that happen is to subscribe, because the more subscribers we get, the more content we can make.
And then we can quit our fucking jobs and make it this.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd love to quit being unemployed.
Me too.
That's the job I would like to resign from.
Listen, we're turning down deals from studios and networks left and right. Best way you can support the show is by subscribing to our Patreon.
If you don't want us to sell to Disney, subscribe to our Patreon. And our fun tidbits, by the way, are videos, which is like audio for your eyeballs.
Which is a crazy new technology.
Crazy new technology. You can see our mugs, and Fight Club style, we put little blips of naked photos of us in the videos.
One frame.
Boop.
Tasteful frontals.
That's right.
If you can find the frame, DM us. It's only $5 a month, but if you don't have the capacity to subscribe right now, you can also just give us like single donations, which every little bit helps. So, but if not, you know, no worries.
No pressure. But we don't want to sell to Disney.
No pressure.
But there is pressure because we can't pay our rent.
Yeah, yeah, please. We're going to be doing this on the street.
Actually, this is a begging plea. Please help. Please donate. So
our audio is seven
children.
Our audio is going to be so echoey under that bridge. So
we're going to be recording this in a box.
We can't go back.
All right.
But check us out on Patreon at Film History.
The History of Film.
Now back to the episode. In part one, we talked about showstoppers and how these liaisons would harp on accuracy. I want to get into that. I want to get into the accuracy aspect of all of this.
Now, My real burning question before we get into that is, did the MI6 or the CIA sponsor Austin Powers?
Because oh my God.
Because I feel like that's such a great opportunity. Maybe. To have.
Who knows, man? I mean, you know.
They did Bond. Yeah. Might as well. Yeah. And you know they did McHale's Navy.
Yeah.
And that was a fucking great comedy. And so, Down Periscope? They definitely did Down Periscope.
Definitely. Because Down Periscope was
they,
great,
they used actual fucking vessels and, yeah. and equipment from them.
All that shit. Yeah, man. It's all brought to you by the CIA, brother.
I think it was more DOD, but whatever.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Anyways, go on to yourself.
But we're going to talk about the accuracy of these movies. So let's talk about Argo.
Yeah.
Because let's talk about
we can't talk about the accuracy of the movies put out by the CIA without talking about Argo. Love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great one.
Tense.
Old Ben. Tense. This was Ben Affleck. So I don't know if I talked about this a little bit in the first episode or not, but the CIA has a like bulletin board of like scripts that we want developed, you know. And it's basically for if you're an established filmmaker, mm-hmm. you have access to this, especially if you've done business with them.
Like, here's the Bin Laden movie.
Yes.
Here's the Iran
yes.
embassy movie. Here's yes. this movie, that movie,
Take
whatever.
Your pick, you know, and we'll talk about you making it, you
the
know.
The Hunt for Red October movie.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And that's how Ben Affleck found Argo. Ben Affleck found Argo in the CIA's, like, entertainment
library.
Library. Yeah, yeah. And of course, it had stipulations. You can make this, but it, you know.
You know, that's when he became like a real
director.
Like
respected.
Well, I was going to say raging alcoholic.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Probably from
I mean,
the
like,
guilt.
He went into the CIA and started reading all these scripts,
oh,
and he just came
God.
Out that meme with him like smoking a cigarette and just defeated. He's like, oh my God, look at what I've just read.
Yeah, if,
that's
you, zoom
true.
Out,
yeah.
if you zoom out of the Dunkin' Donuts picture, he's in front of Langley.
it's the Dunkin' it's Donuts sad. Within Langley.
He's just sad and drunk.
Yeah, damn.
Like, I know too much.
That's crazy. I never put two together.
I didn't
want to
know all that. Oh, my God. But, yeah, so Argo, you know, the CIA, they're the heroes of the movie. Nobody helped them at all, especially not, like, Canada or Iran or anyone like that. They did it all on their own, you know? So
well, definitely wasn't Iran the hell.
Definitely, absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, in the movie, the Iranians look pretty fucking stupid, you know? Like, they definitely are not depicted in
and
the best
they
light.
They failed to mention the whole reason there was a revolt in the Shah and all of that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, we don't get into
it's
that.
Like the, whole
the whole
reason their country
is
fucked up
is because
of
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they literally toppled the government and had to get the fuck out, and the movie is about how they're like heroically escaping, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're gonna get shot by the end of this episode. Dude, do you remember Argo winning the Oscar?
Yeah.
Do you remember who opened the envelope?
No.
It was Michelle Obama.
Oh, really?
The White House.
I was gonna say.
Broadcasting from the White House.
Weird.
Michelle Obama opened the envelope for Argo.
Oh, so weird.
I was like, was it the current CIA director, whoever that was?
Yeah, man. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, anyway,
I think that's a little interesting.
That kind of gave the game away, didn't it? It was like, oh,
yeah,
is
yeah.
Michelle Obama going to announce that the CIA movie didn't win?
Right. Yeah, no. I was thinking that too. I was like, she's not going to be presenting it to fucking what, like
by
the
way,
artist
you know
or whatever
that,
the fuck else was
that
up there.
That fucking press campaign for the Oscar run. I bet you know the military's going around. The government's like, by the way, any of you want to use any of our shit again?
Yeah,
you're voting on this movie.
Yeah.
All right, this
very
is,
true.
This isn't an option.
Damn,
Argo is going to win this year.
Yeah.
All right, and because we want to make sure that the American public not only likes this movie but believes it's fucking true.
Yeah,
God, prime example for real.
Damn.
Like that, they really do have like a stranglehold over the industry.
Yeah,
I mean, like fucking studios won't make your movie without their money.
Yeah.
And then hell yeah, no, they definitely those Oscar. That Oscar was
Flex Seti right
absolutely.
There from the White House.
That was they left a horse in Michelle Obama's bed. They left
a
horse head.
I
in
love
there.
How they're like, we're not even gonna let you announce it. Like, we're not even
gonna
let you guys
not gonna
say
give
it.
It was a
fuck that. Bring it to Daddy White House over here.
That, it was a blank piece of paper. Like, it was.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, bring it to the mother of United States.
It was just her daughter's school crayon drawings on there earlier that day.
God, dude. So weird. Anyway, yeah, we're getting killed after this.
I'm getting a drone strike, guys.
But I was disappointed. I'm always disappointed to hear about the inaccuracy of a movie. You know, I really am. I'm always disappointed to hear that something wasn't... I never understood. Now I understand why.
Yeah.
I never understood why you would make a movie and make it historically inaccurate. If you're telling a real story.
Yeah, you know.
But now I get it. Now I know. You know, you can't. Mm-hmm. I was very, very disappointed. Black Hawk Down. Turns out... total crock of shit.
Completely fabricated?
Not completely fabricated, but people were made into like heroes when they really people were put on the ground
that
weren't even really there.
That was a fucking mess. It was a shit show mess. To have any kind of spin that we were like doing something awesome is like, that was, I could tell from the minute that was a PR piece just by the nature of the story.
Yeah. Like, it was damage control.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like, you have to tell, they know. Like, everyone watched that shit on the
news.
So
it was like
Tears
of the Sun.
They watched those three Blackhawks go down in Somalia on the news. We know what happened. So when you make this film, we saw the visuals on television, so you can't avoid that. But we can do some damage control and make people heroes, and it's this heroic, like, again, like a story about, like, a heroic escape, you know? Mm. And, because, I mean, look, made me want to join the military, even though it was a shit show, and it was, like, a horrible, like, it looked like the worst... It looked like being there was literal fucking hell on Earth, you know? But for some reason, it was like, damn, that looks cool as shit. I want to go, you know? So whatever they did worked. it was working on me. It's still my one of my favorite films, to be
Josh
honest.
Josh Hartnett, Eric Bana. Hell, like, the cast alone makes you want to just be like, yo, bunch of, like, the hottest fucking dudes on Hollywood.
Yeah, man.
Hanging out.
It was great. But, yeah, I don't know what was inaccurate about it, but... what's really scary too is they made a documentary about the real thing that happened, and apparently that is also kind of bullshit.
Really?
Like real dudes are telling different stories.
Wow.
Than, like,
crazy. I was not figuring to say it never came out.
No.
No.
Came out. Also, apparently, you know.
Damn.
The script has changed.
I would bet
the script for the documentary has changed.
If I'm a betting man, which I am, I would bet that the reason that they were there to begin with was probably
a big bullshit.
They were like, "This is, we're gonna go capture this warlord, and we're doing it in a daytime operation."
Very
blah blah. So like,
why the fuck are we in Somalia to begin with? I've never seen the movie, but like, why the fuck
Africa
are we in Somalia?
Is where, like, Africa Command is where most of our special forces are, like, honestly deployed before, especially before the Middle East stuff. But like, if there's so much war and fighting and combat that goes on in Africa that nobody knows
the
about,
Somalia
is the number one theater of war.
Somalia was taken over by warlords. They kicked out the government, took over.
It still is. It's where, the pirates of Somalia and all that shit.
It's an unincorporated country. It's Wild West.
It's just warlords. It's like Afghanistan, but Africa.
But America went over there. According to the story, Bill Clinton sent Delta Force and the Rangers over to Somalia to go kill this warlord, to, like, cut the head off of the snake type of shit, which is total bullshit. You're just like the next dude.
They were already there.
Goes, yeah.
There's been a presence for us in Africa forever. They do these missions all the time, is my point.
The entire reason Africa's fucked up is because of imperial intervention. Like, that's the entire reason why it's a war-torn country. Like,
it's very interesting. I didn't think about that would be the inaccuracy. Like,
I mean, out of all the things, because everything else kind of lines up. Like, if you have things go down, you do need to send in these people on the ground, and, like, you do need to... I bet you, like, we probably lost more people than what was portrayed. We probably didn't do
the
exact maneuvers correctly, and, like, that we probably fumbled the ball in, like, the procedure of the way we handled that shit, and it caused more collateral damage and shit.
Yeah.
I bet you there's probably, like, more civilians that ended up dying. Those are all probably inaccuracies too, but I bet you, in my mind, if I'm the government and I want to spin the story, the number one thing is not how we got our people out and how we resolved that. It's what the fuck were we doing there on this? What was the mission to begin with? And it might have just been like, oh, they were supposed to go do some, like, black ops to recover some fucking... you know, whatever, gold from some warlord what, or something. Who knows?
Who was the socialist that we were actually killing? Who was the socialist we were actually there to kill?
Or, like, the oil that we were after or fucking,
somebody preventing a contract from some American company.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Something that we'll never fucking know about.
De Beers. We're there on behalf of the De Beers Corporation. I hear the silence here.
Budweiser's making their fucking...
No, like the Diamond Company. Yeah.
I thought you were saying the beer company.
That's the other side. That was West Africa.
That was
definitely going on at the same time as well.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, yeah, doing his thing. This is not a fun story I'm about to tell you.
is there any of these fun stories?
No, none of this is fun, but this is going to be not so fun, but this is absolutely, if I'm going to tell this story, this has to be told. I want to tell you about a guy named Thomas Young, and maybe you've heard the name. He was pretty famous. So, National Geographic, I can't remember. This was pretty recent, actually. National Geographic picked up a series called The Long Road Home. Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
It's like, I mean, this was like 2019, 2020, maybe even like more recent than that. It's called The Long Road Home. It looks fantastic, to be honest. It looks like a great war show, you know. It was a true story of some guys in 2004 in Baghdad getting ambushed and having to fight their way out. A lot like Black Hawk Down, you know, like basically fucking Black Hawk Down, but in Baghdad in 2004. And that was the series. And this thing is filmed at Fort Hood. Like, you know, the background, they were all enlisted men. Like, this is a full military production. You know, this is like what we've been talking about to the nth degree for sure. This is definitely brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense, baby. even so much to the point that the helicopter pilots who are in the show were the real helicopter pilots from that 2004 Baghdad exfiltration. They're like the real dudes. Yeah, like it's one of those, you know. But some of the dudes who were actually there, this thing comes out and these guys start saying like, "Hey, this is not how this shit went down at all, man. Like, this is way bullshit right now." So this guy said something so dark and hilarious to me. This soldier that was actually there in 2004 in Baghdad, he said he watched the show and it didn't even give him flashbacks.
That is such a burn, bro. What a boss move. You're like, this is so much bullshit. I didn't even have post-traumatic stress from it.
You didn't even trigger any bad memories for me, man. Like, that's how inaccurate this thing is.
I felt like I was watching Mars Attacks.
But this guy, Thomas Young, was one of the guys who was there. Mm-hmm. This poor bastard, Jesus Christ. Thomas Young, he was this guy who, in real life, he was there. He was 5 days into his fucking deployment in Iraq in 2004, riding in an open, unarmored truck to go. So basically, these guys get ambushed, and then the guys who are coming to rescue them get ambushed. And, you know, that's what happened in real life. That's what happens in the show. This guy, in real life, 5 days into his employment, they're riding in there, and they get ambushed, and he's shot in the spine, and he's paralyzed, like, instantly. Like, he's fucking...
Fuck,
like
Professor X.
Exactly. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Is that the sequel to Long Road Home?
Are you talking about from the X-Men?
Yeah.
I guess technically.
I'm trying to bring some brevity to the situation.
When he got back to the States, he became a big spokesperson for the anti-war movement.
Oh, fuck yeah. Okay.
He became like this
He's an anti-war hero.
An anti-war hero. I like that. That's very interesting. And as you can imagine, he was not very popular. This was at the time, you know, a few years after 9/11, America was real pro-war. Like, we were real into it. You know, the flags were flying out front, and we did not, America didn't love it when somebody was not all for what we were doing, you know. And
look
like
what they did to the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah, man. Dude, for real. God.
The most southern...
One of the few successful cancellations in like actual entertainment history.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they weren't fucking around. So Thomas, like I said, not a fun story. He wanted to kill himself. He wanted to like commit suicide, but like in a big fucking like Fuck you. He was considering self-immolation, which has been used as protest. You light yourself on fire.
Yeah, real intense, too.
Yes. Dude, holy shit. There's been a few people that have done that. But the most famous one was the Saigon guy, that Quang Duck guy. Mm-hmm. Man, gnarly.
I can't imagine a worse way to go.
No. That is just
being burned alive.
Gnarly.
No.
And he didn't flinch, man. He did not flinch. That dude.
Well, after like a few seconds, your nerve endings are burnt. You don't feel anything.
Okay. Well, you know, you're selling me.
That's not. Yeah. Okay. Well, now I'm. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know. what are we waiting for?
You talked me into it.
Yeah. What are we waiting for? That'll be our next ad. Self-immolation. Do you want
to news report after this episode drops? The news report reads: Film history, the history of film members in protest, lit themselves on fire.
Our ad read is like, self-immolation. After a few minutes, your nerve endings are dead.
Brought to you by Exxon.
It's the new TikTok challenge.
But not really feel it for too long. The TikTok challenge.
Brought to you by Bic Lighters.
Brought to you by F1 Fuel. So he did this thing. He checked himself into a hospice care. And basically, he's just going to starve himself to death while being in hospice. And he's going to go on like a hunger strike. You know, protest the war. And he wrote a letter from the hospice. It was called The Last Letter. It's very famous. I recommend you Google it. I was going to read it here today, but we're already so deep in the weeds. He wrote this letter to George Bush and Dick Cheney, calling them.
How long's the letter? I kind of want to hear it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it.
By the way, I don't know how much of an impact that's going to have on good old Dick.
I talk about this, a man
who shoots his friend in the face and his friend apologizes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I know.
Heartless Dick.
I thought about that too. I thought about that same thing. Like, you know, they didn't give a fuck. Yeah. Like, they probably never even saw the fucking letter, to be
Dick
honest.
Dick Cheney jerked off to that letter.
Yeah. He's like, I love this. Okay, the last letter.
I'm laughing because the visual and, like, it's probably true. Like, the man is so, like, Bush didn't do that, but he's too soft-hearted, man.
Bush didn't jerk off
but
to the letter.
Dick Cheney's like,
he just never saw it.
Like, the soulless, evil epitome of humanity.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What's it say, Uncle Dick?
What's it? What? Read it to me. He's, like, in bed, like, under the cover.
It's his bedtime story.
Uncle Dick, will you read me that last letter again?
He's got a teddy bear. One of those, like, fucking, like, old-timey hats, the floppy, like, nightcap. Just in bed.
Some milk. Yeah. Will you read me that letter again, Daddy?
No, he's and drinking a scotch out of like the skull of his enemies.
Yeah. There's candles burning. Dick Cheney's got like a fucking cape.
Chair made of bones. Yeah.
His feet are rested on like a child. He's just like on all fours and like a loincloth. Oh my God. So, the last letter from Thomas Young to George W. Bush and Dick Cheney. I write this letter on the 10th anniversary of the Iraq War on behalf of my fellow Iraq War veterans. I write this letter on behalf of the 4,488 soldiers and Marines who died in Iraq. I write this letter on behalf of the hundreds of thousands of veterans who have been wounded and on behalf of those whose wounds, physical and psychological, have destroyed their lives. I am one of those gravely wounded. I was paralyzed in an insurgent ambush in 2004 in Sadr City. My life is coming to an end. I am living under hospice care. I write this letter on behalf of husbands and wives who have lost spouses, on behalf of children who lost a parent, on behalf of the fathers and mothers who have lost sons and daughters, and on behalf of those who care for the many thousands of my fellow veterans who have brain injuries. I write this letter on behalf of those veterans whose trauma and self-revulsion for what they have witnessed, endured, and done in Iraq have led to suicide, and on behalf of the active duty soldiers and Marines who commit, on average, a suicide a day. I write this letter on behalf of some 1 million Iraqi dead and on behalf of the countless Iraqi wounded. I write this letter on behalf of us all, the human detritus your war has left behind, those who will spend their lives in unending pain and grief. Yeah, and it's...
Wow.
It keeps going. It's pages long.
Oh, pages. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's the entrance. That's the opening paragraph.
Here's the end. Yeah. Here's the end. My day of reckoning is upon me. Yours will come. I hope you will be put on trial, but mostly I hope, for your sakes, that you find the moral courage to face what you have done to me and to many, many others who deserve to live. I hope that before your time on earth ends, as mine is now ending, you will find the strength of character to stand before the American public and the world, and in particularly the Iraqi people, and beg for forgiveness.
Wow.
I do remember this letter, actually. Yeah. Now that you're reading it and like the brevity of it, I really remember it.
And then the war went on for 10 more years.
Like 20 more years. Yeah,
and instead of getting in front of the American public and begging for forgiveness, good old W goes on Ellen and paints.
Yeah, man. And Dick Cheney shoots his friend in the fucking face. DOD was not a big fan of that guy. they didn't like Thomas Young, not one goddamn bit. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, why the fuck would they care? I don't know. I mean...
Just petty bitches.
Yeah, they're just... Literally, they were super petty bitches. And if you watch the show, The Long Road Home, this guy is depicted as, like, a coward.
He's
a Weasley little, like, coward in war. They smeared his ass.
Wow.
Like, fucking... The military smeared this man because he was speaking his mind, you know?
Was he at least already dead so he didn't have to see what they did to his name?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He was dead. Yeah. Like I said, not a great story.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, in his opening, he's like, you know, all the wounds that are physical and psychological. Like, I mean, it's a war. What did you think? That you're just going to go into a war? I'm being ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I'm being very silly.
Yeah. No, but it's interesting you say that.
But it's like, you're going to war. Of course people are going to be wounded and fucked up. There is no other way.
But not according to Top Gun.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing. One, all the propaganda does make it look cool. But also, it's like you went into war under false premise. You know what I mean? Like
those
men thought that they were going to fight for something, and all they were going to fight for was profit motive.
By the way, if you want to see a really good movie about that, The Green Zone with Matt Damon.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Really good movie about, because his character is like a sergeant and he tracks down and he works with the CIA about trying to find the real motives of why we went in there, as he was tasked to find weapons of mass destruction.
But that is the perfect cap off to this episode, is because that's why I thought it was important to bring this to the show, because I think I highly respect anyone who decides on their own volition to go into the military. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just would prefer it not to be under false pretenses.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I feel like I should clarify my point earlier. Like, I'm incredibly anti-military, not anti, like, troops. Like, I feel like most people that go in are being lied to. Like, they are victims of the imperial complex. That,
you're playing,
like,
Call of Duty, and you think...
Yeah,
nobody argued about going into Afghanistan.
Nobody argued about going
after Bin Laden for 9/11. Yeah. But people were kind of like the administration knew that that was the opportunity to go capital. They were like, well, since we're already America First gung ho, we might as well go into fucking Iraq. And I mean, look what they did with Libya too, and like Syria. Like, we were about to go into war with Syria, and the American public was like, fuck you guys.
What the hell are you thinking?
We will never fucking allow this or support this.
But yeah, just know, if you go to war, it's not going to be cool.
No,
you know?
It's not.
It's not going to be fun.
Did the military fund Tropic Thunder at all?
Ah, man. Nah, probably not.
No, right? Nah. No way. There's no way.
They were like, blackface? What?
Yeah, wait, what? Oh, here's $100 million.
Yeah, they're like, we'll fund it for the blackface. It was in the contract.
Oh, shit. Well, man. That was episode 2. Episode 3, we're going to be talking about the music industry.
Cool.
We're
video games?
About video games. Nice. Absolutely.
Video games are especially fucked up, because it's like, for a movie, you can make the argument, like, it's like, I can't make this about the military equipment. A video game, it's all digital. You didn't need their equipment. You just wanted their money. You just wanted the funding.
Just straight up.
You could have some fucking literally made this about their fucking money.
That's hilarious, dude.
I'm still curious as if Broadway musicals like Miss Saigon and South Pacific were funded.
I'll look into it. You look into it, too. Look into it with me.
I doubt it, but
we'll double team that baby.
Because those are all like, one's Vietnam and one's World War II. So like, you know.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows? Let's do it. We'll get into it. Any questions? Anything? Did we talk about Apocalypse Now?
Do you think...
Not really, not yet. A little bit in the first episode.
It wasn't funded. But like, that's like a big deal for the movie. Because it was like the most epic war movie ever made, basically. But he did it all.
And I'm sure they fucking hated that one.
Oh, they hated him and Oliver Stone.
Did the Hurt Locker, was that like, because that also won Best Picture, right? Like, didn't they, do you think that one was a another like thumb on the scale type situation?
I think.
Almost had to be, right?
I think they were, because A, all the military equipment and stuff they use, and it in reality, it didn't portray the military in necessarily a bad light.
Yeah.
Like, what's his face? Jeremy Renner's character still kind of wins in the end.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of a badass. Yeah. Like, you see him struggle and struggling, but he overcomes that struggle and powers through it and shit.
Because,
you know?
Like, we all agree that, like, Argo, it was a fixed race for Argo. Do you think it was a fixed race for the Hurt Locker, too?
If it was paid for by the military, probably. Dev had a good point. Like, Do you want money for that next military thing that you got? You know, I mean, fucking. Yeah.
Do you want to use any military asset ever again?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm waiting for the Top Gun that's about drone pilots. That's I'm waiting.
Yeah,
because like, how are they gonna spin that?
Oh,
that's
my God.
The thing. They don't want. There's only one movie about drone pilots out there right now, and it definitely portrays them in a bad light. Like this drone pilot goes crazy. I think it was with Ethan Hawke. Maybe it's with somebody else. But it's like, he's a pilot and he just goes like insane from having to do all that remotely.
That's a movie.
That's a fucking movie. Are they piloting drones with like VR headsets yet, or is that only for like that?
Yo, they scout. Is a good thing that you'll find out, and I know this for a fact. So one of the ways they recruit drone pilots is by going to video game competitions. Military industrial complex.
There's actually a micro sport. I don't know how big it is, but it's like drone racing, and you put on VR headsets.
First person drone racing.
And then you get a letter. The military would like to.
Yeah, but that's. I don't know. Like, the skills required for that are different than the skills required for the type of drones that are doing the targeting and stuff. Like, those first person ones that are really quick, those are now being recruited for movies. Because filming of that, like, ambulance, with.
That
Michael
drone
Bay,
shit in
like,
ambulance
yeah.
was next fucking level, man.
It's crazy.
Well, that'll be part two.
Cool.
Yeah.
Part three. Oh, this will end part two.
I think so, right?
That will,
If there is any good news to take away from this, it's that in the future, we're going to have robots fighting robots, most likely.
Yeah.
And it'll be a lot less humans that are dying from all this shit.
It'll be Call of Duty. Like,
which is like, if there's any silver lining, like that is kind of a really good thing. And like, you know, and you said those numbers in that letter from like the Iraq war. And I mean, it's 4,000, you know, American troops that died, and that's horrible and tragic. But like, it was a million Iraqi civilians and stuff.
Man.
Like the scales are tipped. Like, no matter what happens when we go, when anyone goes into somewhere, the real suffering people
the fucking civilians,
and
the number of innocent dead brown children is incomparable from the shit. Yeah. So,
all right,
interesting. Again,
that was part two.
Again, like if we can manage to not blow ourselves up, all the others of species, it'll just be robots on robots and AIs on AIs.
It'll be Elon Musk nukes and Christopher Nolan movies. Yeah, that's what we're headed for.
Take me to Mars. Occupy Mars for sure. I'm down. Let's get off this fucking rock, bro.
I don't know, man. Fucking what's that TV show? Starts with an E. X. I don't know. There's a TV show. It's about miners in space, basically. The whole idea of this is like the billionaires don't want to go to space. They want you to go to space and work and send money back to Earth because there's a lot of health complications of living in space. Like
that's very true.
That much exposure to zero gravity fucks the human body up.
Dirty work.
And so it's like,
I got a point.
But we're also like really good at evolving and like manipulating DNA.
The mines will be on Mars.
Right.
So I don't know.
Honestly, once we capture an asteroid to mine, all of this like gets, like, no more going to war in Africa for lithium. Like, there's no need. Like, we have the resources we need.
Then it's,
so, like,
then it's Star Wars.
Well, listen, after this episode comes out, we're certainly going to get sent to the mines on Mars. that has been part two of film history.
The history of film.
Oh, wait, we gotta plug them. Yeah, where can we find you? Yeah, okay. Where can we find you?
Maybe not. Cut that.
Well,
where can we find
you?
That's a good segue. If you want live updates from the Minds on Mars, you can watch me on TikTok Live every day, every Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time and other streams whenever I can manage that. And just on TikTok in general. You can also find me on Instagram at Drake Cummings, YouTube at Drake Cummings. Everything's Drake Cummings. Just if you Google me, something will come up.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Just try it. Just try it out.
Google me.
I dare you.
If you're a three-letter agency and you want to find me, you clearly already know where I am. Yeah. So, but just in case, it's Sailor_Dev on Insta and AbracadabraDev on Twitter. And shout out to all the spooks out there. You know we love you.
Yep. Thank you for listening, even if you are the CIA.
Yeah.
You can find
numbers
me at
your numbers.
You can find me at Guantanamo Bay, being tortured to death after this episode comes out. And that's been film history.
The history of film.
Good Lord.
You know what I'm talking about.